What do you think we should do for our next episode?
Not sure. What do we have ready?
Let me see. Looks like we got a bunch of unconnected pulp fiction sci-fi fantasy stories from, like, really long ago.
Oh, I know. Anthology of Interest.
Wait, are we actually going to fan cast Futurama, a live version?
No, I mean, yes, eventually, but I meant putting all these individual characters into one episode.
I love it. Let's do it.
Hello, and welcome back to Uncasting Podcast. I am your host, Brian.
And I'm your other co-host, Max. And welcome to today's show.
Yes.
It's going to be a little bit different because, well, like all good shows, they always have one episode that is a anthology episode. Well, any show that's worth any merit has an anthology episode where they just kind of throw stories together or have what-if machines.
Right. Yeah, we had a handful of stories, old pulp stories that didn't really have a lot of recurring characters, but had recurring heroes, and we thought we would put them all together into one episode, because just two or three characters doesn't really make for a full episode.
Yeah, and they're really good stories, too, and I think I've read all of them. Not every book in the series, but I've read them and know of them in pop culture. Yes. And we're doing some movies in there. But yeah, this is just part one of our many anthology series where we're just going to grab the main characters from the books that only have a few main characters and then create TV shows. I imagine when I was doing, I was making each one of these a new rebooted TV show.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because you could get a lot of stories out of any of these characters.
Yeah, and they're all old books. You've probably heard some, which we hope you have, because they're really good.
So, first on our list is the Fofford and Gray Mouser stories by Frank Lieber.
Fritz Lieber?
Fritz Lieber.
Yeah.
God, why did I forget that? Yes. They were written kind of as a response to the what they called the Blood and Thunder type fantasy heroes like Conan. They're a little more sarcastic, a little more human, and their stories are a little darker and grittier. They're kind of like
superhero movies today, where they're not going to always be perfect people, and they're going to have flaws, they're going to be real, right?
Right. So, Fofford was a northern barbarian. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, and I want to give you some little tidbit before I move on about this. I was researching this.
Okay.
I'm sure you knew this, but in Skyrim, when you're going into Riften and you're going to look for the Thieves Guild down in the basement, there are two individuals you run into. I think it's Droff and the Black Skeever.
Yes.
And that's a play on who we're about to fan cast for a mini TV series.
Right, because Droff is Fofford backwards.
Yeah.
Yes, I did know that. Yes, that's a good one.
That is. So yeah, I'll go first. So like you said, Fofford was a barbarian. And I remember him just kind of being like a lovable kind of guy, optimistic, but he can also be serious. Kind of almost like the comedic element of it.
Mm-hmm.
He can be. And for this, my first one, I chose Chris Hemsworth. And I just was instantly imagining Thor.
Right.
Because he's kind of a barbarian.
Yep.
He's a funny guy, and I think he would definitely bring a lot of that humor and a lot of that human element to a barbarian axe-wielding badass.
Yes, that is almost too perfect.
And then my second one, I chose Tom Hardy.
Oh, interesting.
I know he can get really yoked, as the kids say nowadays, really jacked. And I know he has a lot of humor, and it's kind of more...
So he's an ox, is what you're saying.
Yeah. And he's He has a lot of humor, brings a lot of that kind of deadpan humor, sarcastic, dry humor to it, too. And I think I could definitely see Tom Hardy playing a barbarian.
I can see that. Yeah. Solid choices. My first choice, I did not do these as pairs. I figured they could mix and match.
Yeah, same with me.
My first choice, immediate, just off the top of my head, Josh Holloway.
Okay.
Sawyer from Lost.
Yeah. I like
tall, him. Rangy, very muscular. He's blonde, and he's just super charming. I think he would make a very, very charming wry barbarian.
Yeah, I like that.
And my second choice, also a bit of typecasting, Alexander Skarsgård.
Yep, definitely.
The best Skarsgård.
Really the only Skarsgård.
No, no, there's like three or four of them in there.
Yeah, but they're not as famous as Alex.
No, Alexander is the most famous and the best Skarsgård.
And the best looking Skarsgård.
Right. You may know him from playing Eric Northman on True Blood. Just perfectly fits the type. He's just incredibly muscular. He's
charming,
you know, Norse of Scandinavian background. Charming. Yeah.
I like it. And so who did you choose for his partner? The Grey Mouser.
Grey
kind
Mouser.
Of a thief, right? A thief wizard.
Yes.
Multiclasser. One of those.
Yeah, he knows some magic, but it's mostly about the thieving with him. He was trained by a hedge wizard. So someone smaller, dark in outlook, but also kind of dark-skinned and dark, kind of a contrast to the tall, blonde barbarian guy. And my first choice, John Cho.
Ooh, I like that.
Can't you just see him in a hood?
I can.
Playing against the taller barbarian type.
And trying to be serious, too.
Mm-hmm. John Cho, of course, probably best known for playing Sulu in the Abrams Star Trek movies.
Yeah, definitely. He's a good guy. He's a good actor. He needs to be cast in more stuff.
And my second choice, Rami Malek from Mr. Robot. And
that's a double ding right there. Already, right off the bat.
Really? Yes.
Haven't even got out of the first series.
Nice. Awesome. I'm making a note of that. Yeah, Rami Malek. I thought he would be a good choice. Wiry, athletic, you know, and could play that type.
Yeah, that's why I picked him too. He's kind of someone who can play serious, but then also be able to show some empathy for doing some bad things.
Yeah. So who is your other choice for Grey Mouser?
Yeah, I had some trouble with this one, but I think I ended up deciding to go with Danny DeVito.
Oh my God.
He's like the ideal cynic and just kind of like, I don't know. I think if I paired up Chris Hemsworth and Danny DeVito, it would just be a comedy at that point, a fantasy, high fantasy comedy.
That would be amazing.
Yeah.
You don't really think of him as kind of the athletic type, and I would kind of figure Mouser would be a younger character, but yeah, Danny DeVito would be.
Yeah, I was just trying to think of Thief, and he kind of like, oh, he's kind of a thief already, and he plays that kind of stereotype in a lot of things. And I was like, yeah, I'm sure.
Definitely an agent of chaos.
Definitely could learn how to fight, but he's mostly just going to try and pickpocket you and rely on his magic to steal stuff.
Very good.
So
the next story that we were going to do?
Yeah, our next story in our anthology of interest, part one, trademark pending, was The Stainless Steel Rat by Harry Harrison.
Right.
He was a pretty good writer back in the day, right in the golden age of all this sci-fi fantasy.
Yeah. So basically it was far future. You know, galaxy spanning civilization, and the idea is right there in the title, The Stainless Steel Rat. He preys on the underbelly of the shiny future.
Yeah, so he's a master thief and...
James Bolivar Degree.
James is a good name. Or also known as Slippery Jim.
Slippery Jim.
Yeah, he's a thief who's never been caught before. Always does. He's either the long con, trying to scam people, or he'll do the short term. And he's kind of like, he has a lot of Batman tools to get him out of things. Incredibly smart. Always thinking 6 or 7 steps ahead. Yeah.
Pulling off heists.
Pulling off the big heists. Kind of like Ocean's 11, but all the time.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah, and he also has the other characters we will get to, but he runs into a couple of these other characters throughout his travels who are reoccurring, but I chose for Slippery Jim, Tom Ellis.
Tom Ellis?
Yeah, he is Lucifer on the when Fox aired that TV show, last year, in 2018. He's a charming, he plays a really charming devil. Someone who looks incredibly smart.
Oh, okay.
Definitely kind of would fit the bill for that. So yeah, he was the main character in Lucifer.
Okay.
And yeah, I just thought he could probably do a really good job as that.
That's a good choice.
And the next person I chose was Chris Pratt. I think he would just be... I just imagine Peter Quill as a smarter Peter Quill as Slippery Jim. Just kind of like maybe he just gets really lucky a lot of the time.
Yeah.
But he's also able
to... That'd be bring a different, kind of a different feel.
Yeah.
Not quite so competent, but definitely confident.
Yep, exactly. That's kind of what I was going for this story, the Stainless Steel Rat.
Nice.
What about you?
I did consider Chris Pratt. But I went with a different Chris. I went with Chris Pine.
Ooh.
Star Trek's Captain Kirk of the Abrams universe.
Voice of good Peter Parker.
Voice of perfect Aryan Peter Parker. He's charming. He's smooth. He's clearly intelligent and kind of self-effacing. Like, you know, you kind of get that kind of undercurrent of he doesn't quite believe that he can get away with it. And a little surprise that he does. And then my second choice, and this one might be a little too obvious, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, I can see that.
If Robert Downey Jr. ever gets tired of playing Iron Man, we could give him another kind of playboy high-tech
genius,
con man genius to play Slippery Jim Degree.
Yeah, and I already know who's going to direct this, Guy Ritchie, so he'll just turn into Sherlock Holmes and just get Jude Law to be his sidekick.
And then there's Angelina.
Yeah, who is Slippery Jim's wife.
Eventually, yes.
After the first book.
Yeah, they have a meet-cute. And she's, I looked her up on the Wikipedia, and they describe her as just as intelligent, but slightly more likely to kill.
Yeah.
So that kind of gives you an idea. Do you mind if I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
My first choice for Angelina Degree is Hannah John Kamen.
Okay, what was she in?
Ghost from Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Yeah, okay. That's definitely... Definitely
I can see her doing that role. And my second choice, also kind of having that murderous backstory, Lucy Liu.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
I'm just picturing her scene from Kill Bill, where she's confronting the Japanese crime syndicate heads.
Yep. I can just see her. Definitely. Yeah, and I read this book recently within the last year or two, and yeah, she's kind of has more of a murdering streak than Jim.
Yes.
Jim mostly is, chaotic. He's not going to kill someone unless he has to.
Unless he has to, right. I mean, he's not above it. It's just that he would prefer not to. He's like, he's trying to play it cool and stuff.
Lay low and not get caught, but right. She's kind of the opposite in that sense, where she'd rather just, you're in my way, I'm going to stab you. If you die, great. you're right. Not my problem anymore.
Goodbye. Next. Move on.
Yep. And yeah, she was beautiful, what, femme fatale,
mm-hmm.
definitely that kind of type. And I chose Leah Hedy.
Oh, okay. Oh,
from
yeah.
Game of Thrones.
Oh, yes. Cersei.
Or the new Dread movie with Carl
right.
Urban.
Mm-hmm.
She just kind of can look really pretty, look really nice, look really innocent, and then, you know, just stab you in the back. You'll find you have a knife in your back.
Right.
And then the second one, I chose Zendaya.
Okay.
And I kind of want to see that kind of... I know that she can do it. I know that she can do, like, the really good innocent and kind of sassy, funny, and smart.
Right.
And then I just kind of want to be able to see her, like, turn it, and then she kills someone right there.
Right.
Just to get out of the situation. You wouldn't expect someone like that to do that.
Kind of a cold turn.
Yeah.
Where you're not really expecting it.
And be able to go with no remorse about what she just did. Even though in other stories, she gets her brain rewired to be a little bit more remorseful. But she's
right.
still just as deadly.
But, right, she's still, yes. It doesn't change her that much.
Yep. She doesn't kill as often, unless, yeah. It's a good book. You should read that. Harry Harrison.
And then the third character from the Stainless Steel Rat is their boss, eventually. The director of the...
Special Corps.
Special Corps. Yeah.
Yeah.
Harold Peters Inskip.
Yeah, so he's kind of like the head of the CIA. He was a former thief who got recruited by them.
Right.
And had to do missions, and he...
So he's someone who's done that stuff in the past, but now he's advanced to a management position.
Yeah, he's joined the man... fighting for the government.
Right.
So yeah, and he's kind of like the general type. And I kind of, when I was reading the books, I always imagined who I picked was Clancy Brown.
Ah. Ding, ding, ding.
Just someone who's seen the shit, who's older, who just is kind of like, Clancy Brown obviously fits that stereotype, especially
yep.
from Detroit Becomes Human. Just like that's who I imagine running the Bureau.
You know, as you listen to these, dear listener, you may notice that every once in a while, there's just some actors that Max and I really love to cast in things. Clancy Brown is one of them.
There can only be one Clancy Brown.
There can only be one. Yes, that horrible, horrible movie where he comes so close to becoming the most powerful immortal around, killed by that weird French-Scottish guy.
Yeah, my second choice was... Idris Elba.
Oh, I thought you were going to have another double ding.
And I think both of those men could definitely play that grizzled vet who was a former thief, but...
Absolutely.
And I still believe that Idris Elba could play James Bond.
Yeah. Yeah.
He fits the bill perfectly for that. Can be cold and direct and knows what he's doing. Who'd you choose?
My second choice, other than Clancy Brown, Benicio del Toro.
Ooh, I like that.
Channeling a bit of DJ from The Last Jedi.
Definitely. I can totally see that.
And maybe a little bit of from Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Just a little bit. Not quite as chaotic. Yeah, Benicio. I like Benicio del Toro in lots of things.
Yeah. I think all the characters we listed would make a great television series with the Stainless Steel Rat.
Yeah. You could have individual heists, you know, for individual episodes and then have kind of an overarching story.
Yeah, and then thing. Clancy Brown or Inskip keeps coming in just to check up and gets kind of, you know, like in Mass Effect where you disconnect from the council. Because I think that happens in the book a couple times where he just kind of like disappears. Slippery Jim just disappears because he just doesn't want to talk anymore.
Right. Right. Get off my channel. Yep. Next.
Next, we chose to do Elric of Melbourne.
Yeah. Okay. So that's, it's a fantasy word. And I've never heard it said. But I've always pronounced it as Melnibone, because there's like an accent over the E.
Yeah.
So Melna Bonet, but
I could be Melbourne.
Completely wrong on that. But it's just Elric. Too. Everybody knows Elric.
Yeah, words are all just made up too.
Elric is
an albino lord,
right?
In a fantasy world, he starts out in the book as a weakling,
very weak, but he gets hold of a very powerful sword.
Yep,
that eats souls. You know, it does. As swords do.
It's a very good sword. If you're an agent of chaos, and the whole thing is he's an anti-hero.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole thing takes perspective from a chaotic evil type of character,
right?
And their power struggle like that. And in the world, you can even look it up in D&D because they've taken parts of it. I think it's even official. He's even in D&D. He's a demigod or god now.
Right.
But yeah, he's high fantasy, evil, agent of chaos. He worships a chaotic god.
Yeah, the Michael Moorcock stories were about... That's kind of where the D&D idea of law versus chaos came from. They strongly influenced the early D&D stuff with the whole lawful versus chaos.
And an intelligent artifact sword.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of inspiration there for D&D. Yeah. So who did you pick?
So for Elric, I picked Tom Hiddleston.
Oh.
Loki.
Oh my god, yes. That's perfect.
Yeah, I just kind of imagine him mostly playing that character, but a little bit more extreme.
Right.
And the whole thing is the swords are even eviler than him.
Right.
So they basically force him to shift his alignment further down the evil scale. So
right.
I figured from playing Loki, he's already charming,
good.
But he can definitely play that sickly kind of evil, trying to be evil.
You've nailed it.
Yeah. my other choice, too, was Jason Mantzoukas. I've picked him before on the show. He was in The League, the TV show. He's this guy. He's kind of always in the background of places, always playing that kind of weird guy, gross guy who kind of just pops in and says inappropriate things at times.
Uh-huh.
And I think he could just definitely, if you give him the lead for this television show, he's already kind of an agent of chaos. He plays that kind of typecasted character.
Okay.
And I think he could definitely play it.
Wasn't he on The Good Place?
He might have been. He usually comes into like almost every show.
He plays Janet's boyfriend that she created.
That she creates. Yeah.
Spoilers for The Good Place.
Yeah. So I think he could definitely just have fun with that. And
interesting.
Try and reel back some of the evil or chaos that he's doing. Like, oh no, it didn't mean to be that evil, but oh well.
Oh man. Okay. I had a different view of Elric. I saw him as kind of almost fey.
Okay.
Otherworldly. And so I was trying to think of actors that could play that. And my first choice is Keanu Reeves.
Yeah, I can see that.
You know, I mean, it's kind of a John Wick situation.
A little bit.
Where he has all these skills, but he doesn't really want to use them until you force him to.
Yeah, and he can't really use them until he gets
And he could do sword. The whole brooding, you know, anti-hero thing.
Yeah, I like it.
And then another actor that has that same kind of type or trope, Cillian Murphy.
Okay, I'm not familiar with them. I don't think just by name.
He was in the first Dark Knight movie as Sandman.
Scarecrow?
Or not Scarecrow? Scarecrow.
Oh, right. Him. Scarecrow. Okay, yeah, definitely him. Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Okay.
Yeah, he would be really good as Elric.
He can play that whole kind of fey, otherworldly, not quite, you know, one foot in another world kind of character.
Yeah, I can totally see that.
So that leaves us with Stormbringer and Mournblade.
Yeah, those are the two swords from the Elric books.
Mm-hmm.
And they're basically just concentrations of pure chaos and evil and
right, but they're fully sentient creatures.
Yes.
And they, you know,
you get more power with more people you kill.
They converse with Elric and berate him and goad him and seduce him.
Yeah, with the power lust, because he, the whole premise was he was a weak albino.
Mm-hmm.
And now he could become much more.
Right.
So I just did voice actors.
Right.
Voices I would like to hear the swords be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think my first one was for Stormbringer, Nick Offerman.
Okay.
Kind of that deadpan.
Interesting.
Deadpan kind of version of it. I thought he could probably do a really good job of just being the voice, not the voice of reason.
Right.
Just kind of imagine him from Parks and Rec telling him to go kill those people.
Right.
In just almost a nonchalant way. And then the other one, John DiMaggio, the voice of Bender from Futurama.
Interesting.
And I know if I picked him, I would want Bender-esque voice, but I would want it to be a little bit more of a comedy, too.
Interesting.
Just because I want Bender.
Well, it's a very dark comedy if the main character is drinking people's souls.
Oh, the sword's drinking it. So then, yeah,
kind of Legion-esque.
I think that would definitely be really funny as Bender as the sword that wants to kill everyone.
I was just thinking of interesting voices, people who might have a large range, because it's been a long time since, I'll be honest, it's been a long time since I've read those books, but I remember them, you know, like sometimes screaming in bloodlust and other times just kind of whispering sweet nothing. So you want someone with a big range.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought Zendaya might be an interesting choice.
Ooh,
for
yeah.
A seductive voice of evil and chaos.
Yeah.
For much the same reason that you chose her for an earlier part. And then another, just an interesting voice, Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah, I could see that.
Black Panther. He might be an interesting, kind of with his accent, might portray more of a, you know, something from another world. Kind of a simple trope.
Yeah, I think I was thinking more of the swords being people,
mm-hmm.
and not kind of just like occasionally they would be their own character.
Yeah, no, they would speak and stuff. It's just that, yeah, I'm not sure how you would write that. I don't know.
Yeah, that's kind of how I envisioned a TV adaptation. I know the books are a little bit different. But for Mournblade, mm-hmm. which is the next sword, I chose Hayden Walsh. She's the voice of Princess Bubblegum in Adventure Time.
Oh, interesting.
And she does a lot of other voice work. She's a phenomenal voice actress.
You're specifically picking voice actors. I see.
Yeah. And I think she could definitely, being the other sword, be a little bit more her, or Princess Bubblegum, where more intelligent, not as powerful, but more persuasive to do other things.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one I picked was Meryl Streep. I know she's not
typically
a voice actress, but I kind of picked a more of a feminine one for the Mournblade to try and overcome the
right
John DiMaggio Bender, let's go kill everyone, baby.
Right. I'm back, baby. As I said, it's been a long time since I've read the books, but I just picked a voice type for Mournblade,
mm-hmm.
the gruff, kind of grizzled warrior type. And my two choices were Tom Waits.
Okay.
And Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Magneto's voice.
Yeah, I can see that. Definitely.
I thought they could play nicely off of the Stormbringer voice.
Yeah, I like that. So that finishes up that main series. I know that there's other characters, but we're going to move on to the next series of the anthology, and that is Conan and Red Sonja.
Yes.
Oh, we're sticking with fantasy for right now.
Right.
Conan was written by Robert E. Howard.
Mm-hmm.
Back in like the 30s, and there's a ton of books. Those are the original ones. Now other people pick it up too. It's right. It's kind of a
cottage industry at its own point.
Yeah, and they've come up with one good movie so far to date. The other two are funny.
All right. Okay.
And did you cast these people together for Red Sonja and Conan?
I did not, no.
Okay, neither did I. And then Red Sonja, a little brief history about that, was partially created by Robert E. Howard back in the 30s, mm-hmm. but more refined and developed by Roy Thomas and Barry Windsor Smith from, I think that was Marvel or DC.
Yeah.
And they created the comic series Red Sonja.
They took the base that Robert E. Howard had written about and kind of expanded her background and made it, fleshed it out quite a bit more.
Yeah.
In the comic books.
And they have made a movie of that.
They have. We watched the trailer tonight. It's terrible.
Go watch it. So yeah. So let's start with Red Sonja then.
Yes.
So she's basically just female Conan. In a sense, to get the type character, basically. Female barbarian.
Right.
She's a woman and a warrior.
Right.
From the trailer.
A woman and a warrior.
I don't know why you have to differentiate the two, but you do it back in the 80s. So yeah, she's a female barbarian class human.
Right.
And for her, I chose Charlize Theron.
Okay.
Kind of was thinking from Mad Max, Furiosa.
Right.
And I know she can definitely be a badass.
Right.
Atomic Blonde,
Furiosa. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Danai Gurira.
Oh, from Black Panther.
Was the other person I thought of as Red Sonja.
Interesting. Yeah. Good choice.
I think either of those two women would do her justice and probably get more armor.
Right. Yeah. I mean, right.
Well, do barbarians even wear armor?
No, but I mean, you know. Still, you gotta cover up stuff.
Yeah.
Protection. My choices for Red Sonja. Katie Sackhoff.
Okay. I like it already.
Battlestar Galactica's Starbuck, Gara Thrace. She's got the build of a someone who's actually a warrior. Like, I think she could actually, you know, kick people's real asses. Like, you wouldn't look at her and think she's too thin or she needs, you know, she doesn't look like she works out a lot. No, Katie Sackhoff, I think. And then I cast a redhead, Deborah Ann Woll.
Okay.
From True Blood, and also Karen from the Marvel Netflix series.
Right.
Karen Page.
I like it.
Because she's a redhead. Red Sonja, you know.
Yeah.
And I could see her fighting and stuff.
Definitely. And I would like to see that kind of side or that range from her, because I don't think I've really seen that. She mostly plays like the quiet, innocent girl, especially in True Blood.
Right, right.
But yeah, that'd be cool to see her do that.
Let her sink her teeth into something a little more violent. A little more action adventure-y.
Yeah. Give her a big old battle axe or sword.
Right.
So who did you choose for your Conans then?
Conan. So this was, we're playing on hard mode because we couldn't pick Jason Momoa.
Arguably the best Conan to date.
Yes. So my first choice, and this might also seem an obvious choice. So Conan in the books there's been so many books. So I don't know if there's necessarily a canon Conan. That's kind of a funny phrase. but he was more of a thief and sneaky. Wasn't like the big muscle bound barbarian. That was always my objection to the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, is that he wasn't, I mean, yeah, he fought and stuff, but he was, I mean, the famous stories that I read, he was like sneaking into temples and stealing things and stuff. But still someone physically fairly imposing. So I chose Michael B. Jordan.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, yeah. Can't you just see Killmonger as Conan?
I can.
That would be kick ass. And then I had trouble coming up with someone equally as...
imposing?
Yeah, but someone also dark and more rangy athletic rather than overbuilt, muscle-bound athletic. And right. I thought Kit Harington might be given a chance at Conan.
I could see that.
He could, you know, take his beautiful, beautiful hair and not be so broody as Jon Snow and get to have a little bit more fun with his role.
Yeah, I can definitely see that.
Who did you have?
I was kind of the opposite when I was reading the Conan books, at least the Robert E. ones.
Well, that's what I'm saying is I don't know if there's any like a particular canon. So many people have written the stories that there's all sorts of different, you know, interpretations of Conan.
Yeah, but when I was reading those, I always just imagined a barbarian, a big muscle-bound barbarian, mm-hmm. who also just multi-class just to get around every other problem he had. He wasn't the classic.
That's D&D. He's talking D&D talk right there.
I am. Who would use his other skills to get things that he needed because he basically could become a one-man army.
Right.
But he, yeah, I remember him stealing a lot of stuff, but I always just enjoyed it that he was a big muscle-bound barbarian sneaking around, mm-hmm. actually sneaking around. And stealing things and getting away with it, not just the kind of smash and grab. That was the kind of barbarian thief I liked the idea of.
So who did you pick?
I picked David Batista.
Oh, God.
Drax the Destroyer.
Oh, that's really good.
Yeah.
I love Dave Batista.
And I think he would just have a ball with that kind of role of being a thief barbarian.
Yes.
And having things go over his head a lot of the time and get really frustrated.
Standing so still that nobody could actually see him.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think he would be a great Conan.
Oh. Yeah. That's why we do these things, because we like surprising each other with their choices.
And I thought you were going to pick him.
It didn't occur to me, but now I'm sad that it didn't. Who was your second choice?
I chose Terry Crews.
Oh yeah, Terry Crews is good too.
Yeah, I thought he would just be kind of a fun barbarian. He's definitely big and have a lot of fun with that role as well, especially with either of my two picks for Red Sonja. I imagine you could either do an individual series with each character. Or you could have crossover episodes with Conan and Red Sonja doing things together.
Right.
There's a market for it, guys.
Movies with female leads make a lot of money.
Same with television shows, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I would watch the hell out of any Conan or Red Sonja TV show.
Yeah.
So that ends the fantasy, most of the fantasy.
Now back to sci-fi.
Part of our anthology of interest series.
And again, these are characters, they might be, well, I don't know if they're public domain yet, but they're old enough that, you know, you could have all sorts of interpretations of these characters. Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers.
Yep.
The pulp sci-fi heroes.
Of yesteryear.
So... who did you choose?
So for Flash Gordon, I chose Michael B. Jordan.
Nice.
You didn't pick him.
That's so close. No, I didn't.
Yeah, you got him. Oh, yeah, you got him for Red.
I had him for Conan.
Yeah, I just imagined him playing football or something like that, because he's a football player who gets pulled into space.
Right.
And I think he would just kind of like, I'd like to see the more humorous side from him and... have a little bit more fun with the goofy antics.
Right. Seeing him react to some of the weird stuff that Flash gets thrown into would be fun.
That would be fun. And then the second choice, I did Andy Samberg. And that would just totally change the whole direction of Flash Gordon. But I think that would just be funny. It's uncommon. And I just think if you did Andy Samberg, you could even just write it as he was kind of like a benchwarmer football player.
Right.
So he didn't have to be, like, the best star, and that's just kind of, like, right. how he got there.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I had completely forgotten the whole football player type, but I pictured Flash Gordon as kind of the earnest. So that's how I differentiated them. And I mean, we can go into it more when I talk about Buck Rogers, but I pictured Flash Gordon as kind of the earnest all-American type hero. Right. So someone who's kind of the guy next door type.
Yeah.
Sci-fi hero. Whereas Buck is the more, kind of snarky, sarcastic, cynical hero. That's how I different. That's how I would reboot them anyway.
Yeah.
If we were doing these as a show.
And I think I took the other way of, I think it's a trend now, but I think cause I'm a lot younger. Like the idea of like those old cult classics just getting reboot as kind of a comedy, making right. fun of its own self, but also trying to be serious.
Oh no, yeah, you could still do plenty of comedy, I think.
Yeah,
I was just thinking of the characters.
Yeah, and the character too. I would like to see him reboot as kind of a comedy as well, and just kind of just have a lot more humor, making fun of itself, making fun of the whole genre of itself.
Mm-hmm.
But also being serious and going places. Kind of like the Orville is now with Star Trek.
Okay.
It's serious enough, but it's also poking fun of itself. It realizes the source material, and it's going to just play with that.
Right. So my choices for Flash, Gordon, Ryan Reynolds.
I like it already.
And Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
If you wanted to do a gender-bent Flash Gordon.
Yeah, I like it.
She's kind of, you know, she's kind of the all-American girl next door type.
Right.
Kind of has that goofy manic energy. I thought she'd be fun in that kind of role.
Yeah, I could enjoy that.
And then Buck Rogers.
Yeah, and Buck Rogers, the history about him, though, wasn't he? He was cryogenically frozen.
Yes.
From like the 20th century.
Right.
As a space pilot or part of NASA or whatever it was, and then wakes up in the 25th century.
Right. Well, in the original, like, pulp stories, he was, like, frozen kind of the way Fry was in Futurama.
Okay.
Cryogenically frozen, not necessarily a space pilot. I don't know. I didn't do a lot of research. Max did research for this one. I didn't.
Yeah. And so my idea of rebooting this, like I said, with the Flash Gordon one, I want it to be a comedy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I just, with these two choices, it definitely would show as a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So for my Buck Rogers, the first one, I chose Rashida Jones.
Nice.
And I would, yeah, I want to just kind of be from Parks and Rec. And
yes.
Just kind of mm-hmm. be more
oh,
of like
yeah,
a comedy.
Absolutely.
Poking fun of itself, like, what the hell am I doing here?
Right. Fish out of water.
Fish out of water completely. Doesn't have to be a space pilot already. And just like, oh, yeah, I'm this person. I can do that. Sure.
She could be a pilot.
Yeah. Or she could definitely go with that more seriously. I know she has range as well.
Mm-hmm.
The second one, which I think would add to the more comedic effect of it, would be John C. Reilly.
Nice.
Yeah, because no one's ever going to make him Nova.
Buck.
So he can be Buck Rogers.
He's Nova in our hearts, Max.
Yep. He's our headcanon Nova.
He's our headcanon Nova.
But yeah, I think he would definitely have fun with that.
My choices for Buck. John Boyega.
Ooh, I like that. I like him.
He's you know, he's the fish out of water. It's like, what am I doing here? I got to get out of here. I got to go. And then my second choice, Chris Pratt.
Yep.
Because we always have to have a Chris Pratt in there somewhere.
Yep.
I thought Chris Pratt would be the kind of overconfident, goofy Buck Rogers, fish out of water kind of guy.
Yep. He kind of does that in Guardians of the Galaxy a little bit.
Right. He's the boy who never grew up.
Yep. Peter Pan.
Ever. Can't make him.
So, yeah, that was our anthology series of characters, pulp fiction, sci-fi, fantasy from the golden ages.
Is it time for final casting call?
Yeah, I think it is time for the final casting call. So let's start with Fafhr and the Grey Mouser.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to pick them as a pair.
I think I will too. You want to go first?
Sure. Alexander Skarsgård. Tough choice. John Cho.
Okay. I'm going to go with Chris Hemsworth.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny DeVito.
That's a pair to draw to right there. Wouldn't you watch that show?
I would.
Audience.
Yes. That would be really funny. It's Always Sunny in La Marquita or whatever, however you pronounce it.
Linkmar.
Linkmar?
Yes.
Yeah.
Nahuan.
Stainless Steel
Jim
Rat.
DeGree, Stainless Steel Rat.
Yeah. So start with Slippery Jim.
I really like Chris Pine and Hannah John Kamen as Slippery Jim and Angelina.
I like that too. You want to get Inskip in there too?
And... so close. I'll let you have Clancy Brown if you want him. I'm going to pick Benicio del Toro.
Okay. So you picked two for... So it's all in order.
Chris Pine, Hannah John Kamen, and Benicio del Toro.
Very nice. I think I'm going to go with Chris Pratt, Lena Headey.
Okay.
And Clancy Brown.
Clancy Brown.
I think that would make a good television show right there with those characters.
All right. And then Elric.
Elric.
Go ahead with Elric.
Yeah, you want to do these individually?
I can pair them up, I think. I can come up with interesting combination here.
Okay. What pair do you have?
Cillian Murphy. Zendaya as Stormbringer, and Tom Waits as Mournblade.
Okay, I like it. I think I'm going to go for Tom Hiddleston as Elric.
I mean, come on.
And I'm going to go with Bender Bending Rodriguez, also known as John DiMaggio, as Stormbringer.
John, come on our show, please. We love you.
And Hayden Walsh as Mournblade.
Okay.
The less powerful sword, but still... powerful.
Right. They're powerful together, too.
They are.
So that Red Sonja and Conan?
Yeah. So for Red Sonja, I think I'm going to go with Charlize Theron.
Okay.
My bad. And Dave Bautista.
That's a good show right there. Katie Sackhoff and Michael B. Jordan.
Oh, I like that.
That would be a fun show to watch.
How about Flash Gordon?
Jennifer Lawrence.
Okay.
And John Boyega as Buck Rogers.
Okay. Could you have a crossover between Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd figure out some way to
time,
work
time
them
dilation.
In together.
I think... for my Flash Gordon, I would have Michael B. Jordan and John C. Reilly.
So the middle initial crew.
Yep.
B and C. You need an A in there. Is there an A?
I'm sure we could just add one.
Awesome.
Well, yeah.
Good choice. If you have any, you know, suggestions or corrections or comments... make sure and let us know. You can reach us at it's something. It's on the tip of my tongue. Something at uncasting.com.
Are you sure? I think it might be something.
Something.
Not nothing, but something.
At uncasting.com. I'm sure about that last part.
Something sounds right.
Right. And, Max, where can they reach you if they need to?
Well, the lovelies can reach me on the internets, most predominantly on Instagram and Twitter. You can also email me at my name, Max, at uncasting.com. And my social handles are at Max Brum, my name, M-A-X-B-R-U-M-M. Where can the peeps find you, Brian?
I am at Lunar Obverse, L-U-N-A-R-O-B-V-E-R-S-E, just about everywhere, primarily Twitter and Instagram.
Sounds reasonable enough to find.
This episode is entirely self-produced by Max and I.
Itchy Dog Studios.
Itchy Dog Studios. I can't think of anything else. Is there, there's something else we always put in here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We need reviews.
Oh, yeah. I think we've had one five-star review. We've had a couple of other ones.
Right.
But, you know, the special thing about five-star reviews is we actually read them on air.
Yep. Word for word. Whatever you write.
And we'll read it.
And we'll read it on air.
So, you know, if you want your review written on air, go ahead. I dare you to. I double dog dare you. Oh, so no. Now you have to do it.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We're challenging our listenership.
We would like to read the five-star reviews, but we can't write our own reviews. So, help us out.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah, and hope you enjoyed this anthology episode, part one.
Anthology of interest.
What would happen if we have these characters casted? But yeah, thanks for joining us. My name was Max.
And I'm Brian.
And this was another episode of Uncasting. Thanks.